Coming down in 3, 2, and 1.
It's Halloween. Can you feel it? Can you feel that thinning of the veil between this dimension and the other dimension? The spirits are now able to come forth tonight. They're able to express themselves. The earth in our part of the world is shifting away from the sun. And the subtle things are now stronger than they used to be. You'll probably see something tonight. Something may even come to you in your sleep, in your dreams, and haunt you. Welcome back. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's Halloween night. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop in Asheville. The number to Wright's, 828-298-5402. And if you missed the beginning of the show, I hope that you will turn out your lights, light some candles, have them burning around the room as you listen to this incredible selection of creepy audio that we're going to be playing for you throughout the show. So now, before we get into the calls, the Bigfoot sounds, I want you to listen to this. This is an actual 911 call from Kitsap Peninsula in Washington State. In the early 1990s, imagine if you saw outside your house what this man saw outside his house. Here's the call.
What are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal? Or
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on, and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good-sized man or something. It looks like a man. I don't know what it was, just that it ran across the yard.
Okay. You've had problems in the neighborhood before?
Yeah, my dog was killed here just recently. I don't know what it was. Whatever it is, it's running. I couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. But whatever it was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now, and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better... Deal!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh. Okay, hang on.
He's right...
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Oh, and the guy is on foot.
I don't know what... It's a big... real big person. That's all I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
I'd say it was a person, somebody really big. But he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all black and he's big. He is big.
So, yeah. Bear that in mind, what it would be like to have something like that running around your house. And now listen to this clip. from the Sierra Nevada forest of Northern California. This is audio that was captured on February the 13th of 2013. This is believed to be some of the most credible sounds of actual Bigfoot out in the woods at night. Some of that out, but I think you can tell screaming, howling, chaos, fortunately at a bit of a distance from the audio recorder. But you know what? I told you that I have some audio that I recorded myself that I want to play for you. Let me set this up, by the way, by saying, you know, there are many, many haunted mansions and castles and houses all around the mountains. As a matter of fact, in Morganton, North Carolina, there is a big mansion there. It was built in 1850 called the Cedars. And it was the home of a Southern officer during the Civil War named Colonel Samuel McDowell Tate of the same family that McDowell County is named after. Well, in the late 1800s, his young son, a boy named Charles Gordon Tate, peered down through the grate of the house into the basement, and what he saw made his blood run cold. He would not talk about it much of the rest of his life. What he saw downstairs in that house was the devil. He said the devil was red and horned. And the devil looked up and stared little Charles right in the eye. Why was the devil in that house? Some locals there think that it's part of an attempt to protect Morganton from the ravages of the Civil War, that some people made a deal with the devil. We'll never really know. But I do find it interesting that the devil was seen in that basement, and a few years later it became a bank. Just, you know, go figure. But there are plenty of spooky, creepy, haunted houses in the Asheville area. And you know, in 2001, I investigated a haunted house all by myself. I spent a night there, and I made a little documentary that you can watch for free on YouTube. And it's called Alone in a Haunted House. Well, at that same house, I was doing an investigation one night with my team called Lemur. And we set some cameras up in the attic, the big attic of this house. And then we all went outside and we left everything in place with the house empty. And later, when we played back our footage, we got this really creepy audio recording. I guess you could call it EVP. Now, one of the things they say about this house is that back in the 1930s, a woman lived there who was abused by her husband. And when we played back the audio from the attic, and again, this is actually audio from a videotape. So if you see the video footage, you just see like the, you know, the green night vision footage of the attic. But you can hear a woman's sort of wailing voice. And she screams, "Please stop." Now, this recording is only 7 seconds, so I'm going to ask Sam to play it one time, and then I'm going to make a couple more comments, and then we'll play it a second time for you. So listen to this woman's, this ghostly woman's voice scream, "Please stop." I actually took this from my own video, camera. This is real. Here we go. Now, it's almost like she says something before she says, please stop. Please stop are the last two words that she says. I've never been able to figure out what she says before that. I'll ask Sam and Shelley after we play this again if they have any ideas. So listen again. She says something and then please stop. Here you go. Now, Shelley, you have a lot of sensitivity to ghosts. Can you make out what you think she might be saying before please stop?
I can't make it out.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just so close, but I cannot make it out.
I mean, if I took the audio and then digitized it and ran it, you know, through a couple different EQ programs, I might be able to boost it and...
Ooh, do it. Do it, do it.
Well, I can't do it this very second, Shelby. I mean, I could in the next few minutes.
Okay.
Well...
That works.
Well, we've got so much audio tonight. I tell you what, Sam, let's save that analysis for a future show because I'd like to tell the fuller story.
With the headphones on, it is you can hear a distinct. I mean, that's what it does sound like for sure, and it sounds like an anguished cry.
Yeah. All right. Here's another recording that came from my LEMUR team. Now, LEMUR stands for the League of Energy Materialization and Unexplained Phenomena Research. And in 2002, we did an extensive investigation of this big, creepy castle on Bowcatcher Mountain right next to Helen's Bridge, a place that is haunted by the ghost of a woman who supposedly hanged herself from the bridge. And the castle is full of all kinds of ghostly activity. And at one point that evening, our team was down in the basement, and we had wondered if it was possible that somebody had been murdered in that castle and the bodies buried in the basement. And we actually had a minister there, and we are using EMF meters. And when we play this clip for you, what you're going to hear is he is talking to the presumed spirits, and he says to them, are you concerned that the bodies have a proper burial? And I want you to listen to the sound that the EMF meter makes when he says this. Now, obviously, a lot of people believe, and I'm one of them, that when ghosts manifest, it creates electromagnetic field anomalies. So you just listen to the tone this meter is making and how it reacts to his question. This lasts 53 seconds. Here it goes.
Does it have something to do with what's buried here?
It's getting cold again.
Yeah. Something is buried here, then.
Yeah.
Are you concerned that the bodies have a proper burial?
Yep. Wow.
$10,000 question, Bob.
I think you win. Okay, so that's why they're still here. Proper burial. And I am freezing over here.
Yeah. I've never heard that meter make that
sound. Me either.
I didn't know that meter could make that sound.
As long as we've been using those meters.
Okay.
So we have a proper burial.
We'll start to do what needs to be done.
All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get really sinister because I'm going to play some audio for you from serial killers. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the Halloween edition of Speaking of Strange.
Thank you.
getting dark now. Yes, it's getting dark, darker than dark, my friends. We're about to get into some serial killer audio. Now, this is no joke, okay? All these things that you've heard so far, you might say, well, you know, this is spooky stuff for Halloween night. But, no, we're going to dig into some real, real monsters. People who have real blood on their hands. People who have killed other people. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. Brought to you tonight by Wright's Coin Shop. The number to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402. 828-298-5402. My name is Joshua P. Warren. And remember, you should go to joshuapwarren.com and you should click the link to the Gallery of the Strange and take a look at some of the pictures and video clips there that are likely to make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. You know, most people have heard of Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker, but did you know there is another serial killer called the Original Night Stalker?
Due to some trademark violations.
And this guy has never been caught. He was a serial killer and rapist. And he murdered at least 10 people in Southern California from 1979 through 1986. They say at least 50 women were sexually assaulted. They also call him the East Area Rapist. Again, the guy could still be out there on the loose. He was never apprehended. And I want to play for you a 34-second clip from a documentary show, THS Investigates, and they say that this is the recording off of one of the victim's answering machines, and police believe this is the original Night Stalker. So this man, this serial killer, left this real message on a real answering machine. Here it goes.
I think I understood more of the ghost captured off of your EVP than I understood any of what that was.
Well, gonna kill you, he's saying.
Oh, I thought he said, I'll kill you.
Something like that.
And then the heavy breathing.
Well, Shelley, answering machine technology was much more archaic then.
No, he was like, I recognize this because I have heavy breathers at work.
It was overly dramatized, but still, if it was on your answering machine, it would still be pretty spooky.
Oh, it'd still be very spooky.
Especially
because it's somebody that knows you.
Or has had some interaction.
Well, you know, it's not very frequently throughout history that serial killers have made recordings when they were on the loose in the midst of their killing. And that's why this next clip I'm going to play for you is very bizarre. This is from what they call the weepy voiced killer. Now, this is a man who was named Paul Michael Stefani. He was a serial killer who was active from 1980 to 1982. They say that they believe he killed at least four women. Who knows how many, but at least four. And the funny thing about this guy is that after he would kill a woman, then he would call the police. And he would leave these just incredible messages, these, again, weepy-voiced killer, just overwrought with guilt about what he had just done. And so I'm going to play for you a series of these recordings. These are real police recordings. This clip lasts 1 minute and 35 seconds. And you're gonna hear an actual serial killer after he's just freshly killed somebody leaving a message for the cops. Listen to this.
I'm sorry what I did to Compton. I couldn't help it. Don't know why I had to stab her. I am so upset about it. I keep getting drunk every night. I can't believe it. It's like a big dream. I can't think of being locked up. If I get locked up, I'd kill myself. I'd rather kill myself than get locked up. I'll try not to kill anybody else.
Fire emergency.
Please don't talk. Just listen. I'm sorry. I killed that girl. I stabbed her 40 times. Kimberly Compton was the first one. Oh, my shame. Oh, I don't know what's the matter with me. I'm sick. I'm going to kill myself, I think.
Where are you?
I'm just going to... If somebody dies with a red shirt on, it's me. I killed both of them. I'm sorry. I'll never make it to heaven.
Calm down. Calm
down. Expert enough.
You find me, I just stabbed somebody with an ice pick. I can't stop myself. I keep killing somebody. Yes, please, this is an emergency. Please send a squad to Pierce Butler Road, Malmberg Manufacturing Company, Machine Shop. Please, there's an ambulance too. There's a girl hurt there.
Can you tell me what happened to her?
Just hurry, she's laying on the ground in the back by the railroad tracks, by the engine.
What's the address?
I don't know.
Who are you?
Okay. You know, there are questions about demonic possession, but when you hear something like that, it makes you wonder, you know, did this guy get possessed by a demon and do this, and then the demon's gone and he realizes what he's done? What's that, Sam? What were you thinking?
While that was playing on the screen, they had still pictures of, you know, some mug shots and other stuff of the guy. And, you know, hearing the voice come out of him, he looked like a 70s guy. He had a big stash. Kind of starting to bald. He looked kind of like a big, thick guy. And so hearing that kind of voice come out, it almost, you know, and I'm not trying to make any light of this, but it sounded like a Saturday Night Live skit or something, like where this voice comes out of him and he's like, just, it's like, pull yourself together, man. You know? Like,
well, yeah, there's real, it's, you know, honest anguish in his voice, and you can hear him saying, like, I don't know why I did this. I stabbed her 40 times. Oh, please catch me, you know, hurry up and get me. What kind of mind is this where the guy does something that horrible and then instantly feels so bad that he has to go and call the cops? And you can hear again how genuinely distraught he himself is. So unlike what you heard in the voice of the original Night Stalker, right? Well, I mean, this is almost, again, it reminds me maybe of some kind of like a guy who gets possessed by something and does this, and then when it's over with, he remembers what he did. But now it's like the other personality kicks in. It's like the guy turning into the Wolfman and coming back. And just can't stand it and is begging to be caught. What a different type of serial killer mind that is. What do you think about it, Shelley?
Well, I'm just thinking about that episode of The X-Files, one of my favorites, called Clyde Bruckman's Final Repose, where there's a killer, he's killing psychics, and you've got this psychic who's an insurance agent, and he's like, you know, he comes face to face with the killer, and the killer's like, I don't know why I do what I do. I don't know why I killed them. And Clyde Bruckman says, don't you get it, son? You're a homicidal maniac. And then the killer is like, that makes perfect sense. And then tries to kill him. But to me, listening to the guy, he just sounds like, it didn't feel like any kind of demonic thing going on there. Just a homicidal maniac.
Well, okay. When we come back from this break, I have got a clip I'm going to play for you from Jeffrey Dahmer, one of the most truly infamous serial killers who ever lived. He was, of course, a cannibal. But he did all kinds of twisted things. And I mean, I'm talking about some things that mean, you may think that you know the stuff that Jeffrey Dahmer did, but you're going to hear in his own words some of the things that he did. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's a special Halloween edition. We'll be right back here on Speaking of Strange.
Trick or treat, trick or treat for Halloween. Better give a treat that's good to eat
if you want to keep life serene.
Trick or treat,
trick or treat,
trick or treat,
trick or treat,
trick or treat the whole night through. Little scalawags with fiendish gags can make it tough on you. So when ghosts and goblins by the score ring the bell on your front door, better not be stingy or your nightmares will come true.
Trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat for Halloween. When the pumpkin shells cast evil spells,
your little white house turns green. Your little white house turns green. Your little white house turns green. Every ghost is a ghost if you got a witch's brew. And if you want your gate to circulate, oh ho,
we can do that too.
Trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat, trick or treat for Halloween. When ghosts and goblins by the score ring the bell on your front door, you better not be stingy or
your nightmares will come true.
So when ghosts and goblins by the score ring your bell or pound your door, better not be stingy or your nightmares will come true.
It's Halloween night on Speaking of Strange. I'm Joshua P. Warren. Tonight's show is brought to you by Wright's Coin Shop. And the number to Wright's Coin Shop is 828-298-5402. They're located in Asheville at 1271 Sweeten Creek Road, 828-298-5402. If you go to speakingofstrange.com, you'll find a link, and you'll also find podcast with many years of interesting shows. And you don't have to sign up to listen to them or do anything complex. You can just click it and listen or download the MP3. Or it's also on iTunes. I mean, if you want to do the iTunes thing, we've got it all set up there for you at speakingofstrange.com. Here's a story that you might enjoy. I once heard this story from some locals around Morganton, North Carolina. It's a story from way back in the day. In the late 1800s, a man named Asa Meters lived somewhere in that area in the mountains. And he and his brother James sheared sheep for a living. Well, one day Asa and his brother went out into the mountains to shear sheep, and when Asa returned, he was hauling his brother's dead body. A set of shears was through James's chest, and Asa claimed his brother had accidentally fallen on the shears. Now, there was no one to bear witness, so most people gave Asa the benefit of the doubt, but there was a local man named Henry Holt who believed that Asa had killed his brother out there. Just a gut feeling. He couldn't prove it. So he turned to an old form of justice from the old world. After James was buried, Henry waited a while, and then he dug up the grave. And he popped off the skull. And he snuck into Asa's house on this hill where Asa lived. And unbeknownst to Asa, Henry hid that skull in the attic just above the fireplace. Now, a couple months later, no one had seen Asa for a while. And so they went into his house. And they found Asa Meters sitting there in a rocking chair, dead. All his hair had turned white, and his body was shrunken and thin, and it looked clearly like he had starved to death. And so those who knew what happened believed the spirit of Asa's brother tormented him and would not let him leave the house until he finally starved, enacting vengeance. That's the power of the skull. Now, we'll never know how much of that story is true, but I can tell you this personally. I found a news story from 1903 about a skull that washed up near that house after a storm. And it could be that that skull and its restless spirit is still somewhere out there around that house in Morganton. So I guarantee you that there is some kind of spiritual reckoning for these terrible deeds. And one of the people out there who just seemed like a typical mild-mannered man. I mean, if anybody fits the profile of just a mild-mannered guy who worked at a chocolate factory, typical blonde-haired, blue-eyed, young American man who served in the military and whatnot, it would be one Jeffrey Dahmer. He was born in 1960, and he died in 1994. He was often called the Milwaukee Cannibal. He was a serial killer, sex offender, who committed the rape, murder, and dismemberment of at least 17 men and boys between 1978 and 1991. Many of his murders involved necrophilia, cannibalism, and the permanent preservation of body parts, typically all or part of the skeletal structure. Well, when he was put in prison, where he later would be, by the way, beaten to death by a fellow prisoner, he sat down for some interviews and was incredibly candid about, what he had done. And so I have a clip here for you. It lasts almost 2 minutes of Jeffrey Dahmer, in his own words, talking about part of what he did in his crimes. So listen to Jeffrey Dahmer's words.
His deeds more grotesque. Listen to him talk about the most unnatural things in the most matter-of-fact of ways. That's when you realize that none of it has touched him.
I was branching out. That's when the cannibalism started. Eating of the heart and the arm muscle. It was a way of making me feel that they were a part of me. At first it was just curiosity, and then it became compulsive. Then I tried to keep the person alive by inducing a zombie-like state. Injecting first a dilute acid solution into their brain, or hot water, and it never did completely work.
Could someone like you be stopped? Could you be helped?
No, I was dead set on going with this compulsion. It was the only thing that gave me any satisfaction.
He became so warped by his evil impulses that he even took a victim's head with him to work at the Ambrosia Chocolate Factory.
I kept the mummified head and skull of one of the victims in a carrying case in my locker at work.
Were you almost flaunting it?
Yes, but that's how strong the compulsion was. That's how bizarre the desire was. I wanted to keep something of the person with me.
Jeffrey Dahmer exhibited some disturbing behavior early on. He began drinking heavily as a teenager.
There you go. That's one of many, many, many pieces of audio that I could play related to Jeffrey Dahmer and his confessions and the things that he, you know, was, again, very blatantly willing to talk about in his life.
He just, and at the time that he was doing it, you know, he was drinking very heavily as well. And so he's kind of like, you know, more in the pictures of that era, he was more bloated looking than he was when he did those interviews. And yeah. It's just like, man, like, because he did seem, even though he was drunk and bloated, like a pretty normal kind of dorky guy, you know, from Milwaukee or whatever. And then like, oh, you're trying to make zombies and carrying heads. And, you know, that's why almost scarier than like, overtly crazy-looking serial killers, like the stereotypical guy next door, mild-mannered guy that works at a chocolate factory by day and then skins people and howls at the moon by night, you know.
So, okay, well, you know, sometimes you look at these serial killers, like Ramirez, the Night Stalker, or BTK, and these guys have, you know, really cold, dark eyes, and they just seem like, you know, creepy people. And I say dark eyes, and I don't mean to indicate that that obviously means that you're evil, because, you know, then you have people like Dahmer. Look at all these Nazis, you know, who had the fair features and the light eyes. Sam, do you think that well, actually, I tell you what, this is a question for Shelley.
She's a serial killerophile.
Since, Shelley, that, you know, women have to be particularly sensitive to being stalked, that's just the way it goes, what do you look for to tell if a guy might be a psycho or not?
Well, for me, I just kind of get that gut feeling, and that's always how it is with me. You know, you go with your gut instinct. If something doesn't feel right, you just go with it. You just do. You don't try and make excuses. Oh, well, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Oh, no, no. You're being told something instinctual, and you go with it, or you might die. Now, I have friends that, you know, they're not as cautious about things as I am. And I don't know if it's just because of this instinct that I have or, you know, all these forensic shows I watch and just studying people. But I don't know. I really worry about them to the point where I'm like, okay, please just let me know you got in okay. Or if you're going off with somebody, just tell me where you are just in case something happens. Just so I know, you know, I can tell the police where you last were.
Yeah. A good serial killer will never be noticeable off the bat, you know?
No, I believe that, yeah. But I don't know. I like to think that my instincts are pretty sharp.
Okay, well, you know what? When we come back from this break, I think we're done with the serial killer stuff, but we're not done with murder. I assure you of that. I do have plenty of other creepy audio lined up for the rest of the show tonight. But I do want to take a little time when we come back from this break to also talk about witches. Okay, and I think that's great because it's a Halloween subject, and a lot of people are confused about witches being evil versus witches being just folks who are in touch with the earth.
Goody Warren.
We're going to talk about that a little bit when we come back. And I know, Shelley, you know a lot of people that you maybe can refer to when it comes to this conversation. So we'll talk about that as well. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the special Halloween edition. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Can you call
Ghostbusters?
And if there's afraid of no ghosts. I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
You know, I love this song.
Who you gonna call?
Who doesn't love this song? And yet I will only allow this song to be played once a year on this show, and that is for our Halloween show. And the reason is that after I wrote the book How to Hunt Ghosts, which came out like 12, 13 years ago, I went on a gigantic media promotion campaign, and I must have done like, you know, 500 radio interviews in like a 2 or 3 month period. And it seemed like every time they would bring me on to the radio show, they would play that song. And so I was like, all right, it's too cliched.
We and Shelley were talking during the break. I was talking about how, you know, and we're the same age, so when that movie came out, you know, that was like the biggest thing ever,
yeah.
You know, like the song, the movie, the logo, I mean, everything about it. I'm pretty excited about the new Paul Feig directed female Ghostbusters.
I hope they do a good job.
I think it's going to be awesome, but...
Okay, so listen, folks, next hour, we usually call that the Dark 30 hour, and that's when we read more controversial and outrageous news. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We still do have some news stories that are a bit on the blue side, but I hope that everybody will continue listening, even if you don't usually listen to the Dark 30 hour, and that's because I'm going to continue playing some audio, and some of it is really disturbing and really creepy. Okay, so I've saved some of that stuff for last. But here in the final minutes of hour number two, you know, there is a very interesting story that's well known around Morganton, North Carolina, where I created the Ghost Tour, about what they call the Witch of Morganton. I won't use her name. She's still alive. I want to keep her on my good side. She's been in the news for years. Back in 1976... she was holding a seance at a local house, and afterward, a woman at the seance died. Now, the daughter of that woman actually went to the authorities and said at the seance that the witch had predicted the exact day her mother would die, and therefore presumed some black magic had been used to kill her mother. So she actually wanted the witch charged, since there was an old law on the books in North Carolina against fortune-telling practices. Well, the North Carolina state prosecutor looked into it and concluded the witch could not be charged because he claimed the witch had only said she, quote, felt the energy of death, end quote, around the woman and had not actually predicted the death. So whatever really happened, the incident made this woman, the Witch of Morganton, very famous. She even held her own funeral in Morganton years ago. They hauled her through town in a casket and buried her.
Ooh.
And a local historian asked her if it was claustrophobic being in the casket. And she said that, oh, no, they drilled holes in it so that I could see how many people attended. So anyway, she's still alive. She must be around certainly 80 or something now. But, you know, I have nothing but good things to say about her. But Shelley Wright, you are a person who you meet a lot of people. You're open to a lot of their practices. In the final minutes of this hour, what's your opinion of witches?
I believe that a lot of people confuse Wiccan with witchcraft. And I think that, you know, you can be, I don't know, a lot of people just associate, you know, witches with, you know, just bad stuff and not anything good. And that's a shame. There's just so much mystery surrounding it. You know, Sam won't even talk about witches.
A little bit, but
a little
know.
Bit, very, very little. But most people associate it with devil worship and things like that. And, I don't know. Everybody, I think, approaches it differently. You know, you have those, you know, Wiccans that like to gather in groups and practice rituals, and that doesn't have anything to do with animal sacrifice at all.
I know that.
I know you do. But, you know, and then there are other people that take it to extremes, you know, but that's like it is in anything, you know. I don't.
Well, you know what? Years ago, I used to do a lot of speaking engagements at high schools, and people would raise their hand and they'd say, "Is the devil real?" And I would always say, "Oh, yes. Yes, the devil is real. I dated her for 2 years."
Ooh.
And
that was thing.
And I bet you, Sam, you know, we can joke around, but, you know, we could all say we've been with somebody at one
point. Got a regular Nipsey Russell over
uh-huh.
here.
But I definitely believe that evil is real, whether, you know, it's embodied by your ex-girlfriend or not. But, like, I was watching this thing the night before, and it was about the story behind The Exorcist, the real exorcism, and how everything started, and it was through a Ouija board.
All right, well, that's good that you bring that up, because, that's one of the things we're going to be dipping into next hour. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the big Halloween edition of the show, presented by Wright's Coin Shop. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.